Well, I appreciate the prayer that you just prayed for us, Ryan, and just the focus today in Scripture on what it really means to be missional people, and it's really a response to the beauty of who God is. That's what we say over and over again. I hope that doesn't become cliche for us, but there's no shortcut to being the kind of church that God designed us to be. And to be the kind of people that God designed us to be as new believers. God wants to do this work in our hearts that transitions the way that we do life. And ultimately, man, if you've encountered the grace of God in the way that most of us have in this body, then you can't help but be an ambassador of the beauty of who God is, spreading that around the world. Not considering what you have to be something to hold on to, but asking God, how in the world can we communicate this effectively in the community that we live in? We have a lot of challenges in this community, a lot of challenges that are very familiar to Jesus in the Scripture, very familiar to what Paul was facing in Scripture. So we've looked at their lives to try and understand how do we become a missional people to. In a community where, first of all, there are a lot of people who feel like they already are believers and they already are on task with God. And yet, and us being some of those, and then also around us is a lot of people who have never come into contact with God and despise the religion that they've encountered in this community. So the same kinds of challenges are there. How do we reach those people with the reality of who God is? I believe there's only one way. It has to be authentic. It has to come from us. It has to come from you being a person who loves God, who's been transformed by your understanding of the grace of God and the other characteristics of God that are so life-transforming when we come to see it. So I hope you've seen all of that. You know, we're talking about what it means to be a missional people right now, something the Lord has given us to do, to spread it in this community. And so today we're going to continue our conversations about that. We started off looking a couple of weeks ago at the life of Paul. And we looked at Paul as being having a missional change in his life, a conversion experience that happened that was in many ways unique, but in many ways also are very similar to the things that we faced when we came to the Lord. And God called us to be his disciples. And so but there was a transformation that happened, a conversion experience where Paul went from a persecutor of the church and a person who was against Jesus to a person whose life and motive for living had been transformed by a real encounter with Jesus. And the reason why I brought that up 2 weeks ago is because if we're going to continue to talk about being missional people, we need to recognize that being in church on Sunday doesn't make us missional people, that studying the Bible doesn't make us missional people, that understanding the Bible doesn't make us missional people. There has to be a transformation and a conversion that happens in our hearts that leads us from being self-focused and in many ways activity-focused to being Christ-focused. And that our lives, that all of us hopefully have experienced that true conversion experience that drives us and motivates us. And now we're beginning to know God in deeper ways as we walk through life with him. So I hope that's you. I hope you've encountered that. But I want to go on in the book of Acts to just very very next part of our story. I want to share a brief passage of Scripture and some points, and I want to talk about where we are as a church and about the call that God has for us as a church to expand the ministry of the Gathering Place. We have been praying and seeking the Lord for months about what the Lord would have for us in this time. I challenge all of you to think about, before we even started this series, the fact that God would bring us to some challenges that would shake us up. And today's going to be that shakeup. We're going to talk about some plans that God has for this body that's going to cause all of us to question, where are our loyalties? Where's our love? Where's our passion? What's our purpose? All the things we've been talking about today are going to become very real. I remember when I was thinking about getting married. Man, I really loved Talitha. Loved everything I knew about her at the time. Didn't know her, but I really loved her. What I saw in her, I loved. And we had dated for a while, not a long time, but long enough that I decided this is the one, I'm going to marry her. But, you know, the closer we got to marriage, it was real romantic at first, you know, this idea of marriage. I see most of you couples laughing because you've experienced and encountered this. Most of your college students are going, yeah, it's supposed to be, right? And I'm just, it was real romantic at first. And it still, you know, it didn't lose the romance. But all of a sudden, the closer we got to the marriage ceremony, the more real it got, right? And we're sitting down with in our premarital counseling, and all of a sudden things are becoming real because he's asking about, do I have a job? Well, job? I love her. I have to have a job. You got to have a job now. So, oh, job, yeah. So I got to start working and we got to pay rent. And for those of you who didn't know this yet, who are married, I'm not receiving money from my parents anymore. Some of you hadn't figured that out yet. But my parents are not raising me anymore or taking care of me anymore. I'm on my own. So I got to provide finances for I'm fixing to live with somebody, with this woman, who I've been seeing a lot in the evenings and in the mornings. But I've been able to do what I want in the middle of the day. And I'm fixing to have her around all the time. And so all the realities of marriage started hitting in. All of a sudden, everything wasn't quite as fun as it sounded before. Now, I mean that in the best way. Everybody getting that? It's not because it's to life. It's because this is what happens when you get married, all right? Some of you have glamorized the idea of having children. And then reality strikes when that baby comes home, right? And everybody warns you ahead of time, oh, no, it's going to be beautiful. And then the next Sunday you come in and you got these bags under your eyes. And your wife is still in the car putting her makeup on, and you're carrying a baby you don't like, and, you know, it's just this whole thing. Everything centers around this baby, right? It's this reality strikes whenever it comes time to act on what you know was God's plan for your life, but the reality is that change has to happen, right, in order for us to move forward. This is true about becoming missional people. I think for a long time, in my mind and in a lot of our minds as Christians, and particularly as church members and being a part of a community of believers, is that we have somehow in our minds separated the actions that it takes to be missional and the concept of being missional people. And so we've been talking about the fact that for Jesus, his life was all about that. That's what he was here for. And as followers of Christ, how can that not be what we're here for? And not just here for in our minds and our philosophy, and not just able to talk about what the Bible says about being missional people, but really beginning to take actions, which is going to cause change. It's going to cause a lot of struggles in our hearts and our lives, because we are not selfless people. We are not. We are in many ways still full of what unbelievers are full of. We got the same flesh tendency and patterns. And so all of that's going to be challenged today and this week and in the weeks to come. So that ought to prepare you for the message today. I hope your hearts are open and you're ready for what the Lord's going to say to us. So let's go to Acts chapter 11, set the stage for what we're going to do. Acts chapter 11, we'll start with verse 19. This is what happened between Paul's conversion, where immediately he was baptized, and immediately he began to preach that Jesus was the Son of God in the synagogue. Remember, we talked about that. There's some immediate response that happens. That you can't help it. It comes out. That's part of your conversion experience. And then we have a section of the book of Acts where we talk about Peter and Cornelius and their ministry, and how God ushers in this ministry that Peter would have that would include the Gentiles. And so we're not going to cover that because we're talking about Paul and we're doing a character study of Paul's life. But then it picks back up in verse 19 of chapter 11 with what happens next in Paul's life. Verse 19 says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen." Remember, Stephen was stoned to death, and who was sitting giving supervision to that? The deacon Stephen. Who was there? Paul, right? He was giving supervision, watching this as Stephen was being stoned to death. This is what Paul was about in his old life. So because of that and the persecution that happened as a result of Stephen's stoning, the Jewish people were scattered everywhere, and particularly those Jewish believers were scattered everywhere who had put their faith in Jesus, those who were followers of the way. And so they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also the Greeks, right? Preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So just a few points out of this passage that I want to use as a launching pad for this next phase of what we're doing in missional, in regard to missional living. First of all, they were scattered. They were scattered because of the persecution that arose, because of what had happened to Stephen, and it wasn't a positive thing. They were scattered abroad. But because they were scattered abroad, God's purpose, God's message was spread. Because they ran in fear, literally, they took with them the message of Christ because they were missional people. And so part of the focus we've been trying to talk about is the fact that missional people, wherever we are missional. It has nothing to do with the church. You are a missional person. You're a person who has the message of Christ, an ambassador of Christ, someone who's spreading the message about the grace of God, the grace that you've experienced, and you have a passion within you to spread that to other people. So wherever you go, that message goes with you, and this was the way God used this persecution, was to cause, to place the Jews in all different kinds of locations. Second thing in this passage is that they spoke both to Jews and Gentiles. We see the ushering in of the Gentiles. For us, we've always tried to, as a church, see the Gentiles, even though this is not an accurate description. None of us in here, I don't think, are Jews, but maybe some few of you are. But we have kind of labeled these two different types of people as the Jews kind of represented for us, those of us who have been stuck in religion and have promoted a legalistic kind of mentality where you follow the rules and regulations and live by the rules. And I think for us in our community, that's what it represents. And then the Gentiles have represented those people who have not been a part of the church at all, have no understanding of Christianity maybe, or whatever understanding they have has caused them to turn away from Christianity. And so it's the people that are not believers in our community. And so the same is true for us. They're both Jews and Gentiles. They're both those people who have been stuck in dead religion, who we are called as a church to call out of that into this beautiful grace of God that we've encountered and experienced. We have a message to them. And we also have a message to those who are lost in our community, that God is more than just rules and regulations, that he loves them, that he died for them, that he wants to save them. And it's based on his grace alone. It's a free gift of God, not of works, that they can have and can experience. So in the same way, this message goes out, and that's the message that they spoke, and that's the audience that they spoke to. And so they spoke to both Jews and Gentiles. The third thing is that when they saw the grace of God at work, they adjusted to it. I love that story, that the report came to the ears of the church of Jerusalem. And what was their reaction to that? They sent Barnabas to Antioch. There was a reaction to that. When he came and saw the grace of God, he exhorted them to all remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit. And then he finds, Barnabas finds Paul or Saul and brings him to Antioch so they can minister there to that congregation. So they saw where God was at work, and they adjusted to what God was doing. That's been our mission statement as a church since we began. That we would look to see where God was at work, and that we wouldn't sit in our comfort zone, but that we would move with God wherever he was working. That's when we laid our stones on the altar to start our ministry together, we said this is our call, is to see where God's at work and adjust our lives to that, to hear what God's saying and to do what God says, to hear what he's saying and to obey what God tells us to do. So that's what they were doing. It's beautiful. It's a natural thing for believers who have been, who have encountered God in a real way and understand the grace of God and are missional in their mindset, that when they see God working in an area and they see a place where the message needs to go, that they see themselves as ambassadors of God. An ambassador doesn't stay put. He goes. He works. He moves in other communities. And then a fourth thing is Barnabas and Saul spent a whole year teaching and ministering in that place. They spent, it says, for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. So they invested a significant amount of time in that community where God was working to make sure the message of Christ was understood and that these people understood how to walk with God. And then one final thing in verse 25 of Acts chapter 12. Again, we go to Peter for a few verses of scripture in the first part of chapter 12. But in verse 25, this is what it said. Acts 12:25 says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark." So they returned to Jerusalem, and they had another missional leader with them. Somebody that had been working with them in the other church, they brought him back with them. And now they're going to begin this ministry. And we know, as we continue to read different portions of the story of Paul, we find out that Paul had three different missionary journeys that had so many different churches that they had impacted in this same way, following this same pattern. Moving and working with God as missional people, training leaders, moving forward, starting churches, planting churches. So I draw from this that missional people plant multiplying churches. That missional people duplicate themselves. And that missional people stay connected to the churches that they plant. Those are the things that Paul did in his life. He continued to do over and over again. We've already talked about the fact that what makes the things that make up a missional person, but they were scattered. They ministered to all the different people they came in contact with. They adjusted their lives to what God was doing in different areas, and they planted more churches. And they duplicated themselves in leadership. Paul was always connected with somebody, training them, leading them, preparing them to be missional people in other places, always moving forward. And then they stayed connected with their churches because, you know, we know that over half of the New Testament was written by Paul, and it was written to churches that Paul had either started himself or been a part of initial works within that church. So Paul had stayed connected with those churches. He continued to give leadership and some guidance and some help. And so all these churches were functioning in many ways in the same way, and they were having the same kinds of problems in a lot of the churches and having the same kind of message coming from Paul. So what's the Lord been up to for us? I believe the Lord has this call for us. I believe the call is for now. I believe the time is now for us to begin to move and work towards this, that we would be missional leaders in this community, planting, multiplying churches, planting churches that would continue to multiply. And that's going to mean some major transition for us. I believe that God's calling us to train up missional leaders. Many of you that are in this body need to be ready to step up, to be missional leaders, to say, I'm going to take a leadership role that in a community that's going to help me to impact this whole community for Christ. And then that we would be missional leaders that stay connected with each other, stay connected with the like-mindedness that God has given us, with the call that God has given us as a church. So I want to share just testimony of what the Lord's been doing in my life and how it's translated into some actions that I believe we need to take. We've talked to the elders, the staff, a few of the leaders within the body. We have postponed saying what I'm going to say today because we wanted to wait for the right timing, but the elders decided on Tuesday for the time is now. And it's amazing how it falls into where we were in the scripture, that these same truths and this reality that we see in scripture is going to be a part of what we do and who we are. So what's the Lord been up to? A year ago, November, we went to a conference. I've shared some of this with you guys. It will be repetitive, but I want you to see the whole story as a church. A year ago, we went to a conference in Dallas. And one of the conferences that I went to was on being a sending church or becoming a sending church. All of the things that I'm talking about right now were the kinds of things that were said in that conference. It was very challenging. I actually went to the conference hoping to pat myself on the back and be able to say, yeah, that's what we do at our church, and have other people pat me on the back. But thinking, you know, we're a missional church. When I talked about a sending church, I thought, well, that means we got missionaries around the world. Well, we do. And we've been great about supporting our missionaries, sending money. High percentage of the tithes and offers that come into our church, almost half goes to support missions and ministry. And so I felt good about that. I thought I was going to get a pat on the back, and maybe I'll get an opportunity to say, yeah, we do it that way at our church, and have everybody else ooh and ah over who we were. So I walk into the conference, and it wasn't that. It was a very challenging word. It was a word, basically he said, we need to, as pastors, never let our people get comfortable just sitting, but always be thinking about, where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? We need to challenge our people to groups of our people, whole life groups, to go to another community to live and to work. We need to challenge our people to go overseas, to consider foreign missions, and to be ready to support them financially and send people out into the world. And as he was saying all these things, of course, my flesh begins to rise up. And a lot of what I'm sharing with you is how God has been dealing with my flesh. So we probably would be way further along in this process had it not been for me. But I have dealt with a lot of this personally. But one of the things that he talked about was the fact that once you begin to preach that way and lead your people that way, that the people that actually go will be your best people. It's going to be your strongest leaders. It's going to be your strongest givers. They're not going to hang around because they're able and ready to receive a call from God to do something beyond the local church and beyond their comfort zone. And he just encouraged us that God would provide, and that in his case that they had done that over and over again, and God had provided for them the new leaders that were even better in most cases than the leaders that they had. So I dealt with all that, and I came home with that intent. But as I came home, the struggle that was going on in my flesh was I never wanted this body to not be together. I've always looked at this body as staying together. I'm trying to figure out ways, how can we stay together? And so I tried to make that church, that sending idea about small groups, which, you know, it is. Missional groups are the same way. Our life groups need to be missional in the way that we need to be thinking always. We're ambassadors of Christ, and we need to be out. We need to always be thinking that way. If you're not thinking that way as a life group member, I challenge you guys to start praying about that. That's where it starts. And so we needed that, and we have struggled to start new groups. It's, you know, and I believe part of the reason is because God didn't want it to be about that for me. Eric, I'm hoping that this confession and the changes that we make right now will allow the life groups to all of a sudden explode. Because I think part of what was going on, in the same way it was going on with us as a church, God led us to three different locations as a possible place for us to take this congregation and relocate so we could have a big congregation all under one roof. And it didn't work in all three cases. I believe the Lord led, and the elders were with me. We were confident that God was leading us to each of those places. And certainly a lot of things that God did in those places and in us as we had that experience. But in all three cases, it ended up in no deal. And I believe the Lord was trying to move me towards this idea of us being a missional congregation, a multiplying kind of church. I took confidence in the fact that we had Brandon and Mindy going to Turkey. Well, there's our missional. You know, we're sending them. Great. You know, I mean, it's going to be a huge loss for us, but it's just two, right? So we can send that family off and we're going to be okay. In my mind, you know, it keeps the critical mass of the wonderful feeling that we have here, the good happiness and the love and all the stuff that we experience here. And then Eric Johnson threw a kink in plans one elders meeting when he announced at the end of elders meeting that asked the elders to pray for him because he and Lauren had been talking and had already, you know, they knew that their call was to be, you know, Eric to pastor a church and wanted us to pray with him. Ought to be 2 or 3 years down the road is what he said, which I found a lot of peace in that, right, a lot of comfort in that. But again, man, privately, silently, wanting to hold on to Eric, not even feeling good about praying for him that night. I'm serious. I really did. Because I wanted to hold on to Eric because I know how much value Eric adds to this body. And so just holding on to him. But then the Lord dealing with me in regard to that over and over again. And so I thought, well, we're going to have to send them out. So again, okay, there's one more couple. It's a missional thing that we're doing. We're going to send them out and maybe we'll get God to let this missional thing be over with and we can just kind of be missional in our workplace. Okay, I know that sounds weird. And certainly I knew better than that, but in my mind I'm thinking that's it, you know, so we can just kind of continue to hang out together. Talitha and I, and Matt and Lee and Eric and Lauren went to a conference this November. And on the way to the conference, I wanted to have some time with Eric and Lauren to talk out some of my, really to talk to them about some things about sending them out into another town that would make me feel better about them not, you know, about it not being me, to be honest with you. Let's send them out. And so we talked and we came to some good conclusions. All the way to Dallas, we talked about what it would look like to plant a church and to send Lauren and Eric out. And at the conference, the Lord spoke to me. Is when the Lord spoke to me about our need to be missional. Everything that I went to, every conference I chose, at least what resonates with me, sure there were some others that talked about other things, but was this missional idea of us sending people out over and over again. And everywhere I turned after the conference, I kept encountering this missional idea, this missional information, and God began to deal with me about me being willing to be the one to lead out, me being willing to be the one to be sent out. You know, I didn't want to receive the challenge at first because I'm thinking it's a lot easier to send out Brandon and Eric and their families than it is for me to, after 34 years of ministry and finding a church that is like the gathering place, you know, paying the price, so to speak, you know, and finally getting to enjoy church, that God would call me to be the one to go out. And I didn't want to deal with that or even pray about that, but I started praying about it. And the more I prayed about it, the more the Lord challenged me to be the one to do that. And also in praying for, finally after I started praying for Lauren and Eric, without having myself in the mix, the more I prayed, the more I couldn't see Eric and Lauren's ministry ending here. The more I prayed, the more I felt like they needed to be to stay in town, not go somewhere else, to be here and to be ministering. So that was the next phase of the things that the Lord was dealing with me about. And two things began to happen for me as I fought the idea. First thing was, I became unable to see a vision for this church anymore. I've never had that. I mean, for 6 years, I've had a vision for this body being together and what it would look like and how we would move forward. And I couldn't see anything past these missional messages that we're doing right now. I mean, the Lord just was not giving me vision. I can't explain what that means. If you're not a pastor or have never served in that role, you probably can't understand that. But the visions just disappeared. It was like I couldn't see anything past this message series. So that's why I'm going to preach it very, very slowly, because I want it to last as long as possible. But the vision is over in my mind at that point. And so that started happening. Then I began to really consider leaving the comfort of this beautiful place that God created to go and plant another Gathering Place church. So to finally seriously consider it and just really thinking about it, and immediately vision started opening up in another realm. And the elders and I have been talking through this and praying through this. It's been a beautiful thing. But the Lord began immediately and almost daily to confirm the call for us to plant a new church and to ask Eric and Lauren to take this church. And so we met with Lauren, with Eric and Lauren, and they prayed and got confirmation. And so we brought it to the elders and the staff. And, man, it was just amazing. I mean, of course, the elders and staff were all kind of taken back at first, but, man, we have all been completely on the same page with this. So that's kind of where the journey has gone. So then we got to the point of us, now it's to life and myself, who are feeling called and led to plant another Gathering Place Church. As we began to pray about that, in the same way that we prayed, the first thing I prayed about was about Talitha's ministry at Louisiana College, and got confirmation that ministry continues. So then we knew that was one of the confirmations that God wanted us to stay local. And the more we prayed, the more God started opening up doors for us locally. And then the vision began to grow, that it wasn't just us planting a church, but it was us planting a church. That it wasn't just Talitha and myself planting a church, but it's the Gathering Place planting a church. Man, the vision begins to build from there, that all of us would consider whether we would be a part of planting that church, which makes us all become missional people. Not just Eric and Lauren and Glenn and Talitha, but that all of us would consider, God, what do you want us to do? So one of the things that's opened up in this vision has been this concept or idea, and here's the challenge for all of us. And just watching, I'm just going to give some observation of what I see in your eyes this morning. As I'm sharing this story, I see lots of different emotions and ideas and shifting and changing. But here's what I want to say to you this morning as we continue to talk about this for a few more minutes. This is your challenge. Every person in this body needs to seriously consider, God, what do you want me to do? And this is real. This is not a philosophical idea that we can hang around and talk about. This is very real. This is going to be some people in this congregation who God's going to lead to plant a church in another location. It's real for every person here. It doesn't matter how long you've been here. It doesn't matter who you're connected with. It's all of us. And when the vision began to open up to that, here's a couple of things that happened. Number one, I know this. I know that there are people that right now have leadership potential within this body. And you have connections with everybody in this body. Those connections don't have to change. They really don't. I mean, we will continue to be connected. That's the beauty of this call. Although I would say this is probably a step, that the next call is going to remove you from this community, some of you. But that right now we can begin to think about and practice what does it mean to be missional people. That this church plant is something that we will do together. So I started thinking through that, and here's what I desire. What we've prayed about and we've come to, and Eric and I, the elders are all in agreement with this, is that there's nobody exempt from praying about this. God, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? There's nobody in this congregation that's exempt from asking the hard questions like, am I willing to separate myself from some people for worship? Am I willing to separate myself from some people for life group? Am I willing to separate myself from some people to be able to invest in some other people? Am I willing to stop being the one being mentored all the time and maybe be the one who's beginning to invest in some people who need it in another community? That's the real question that we need to get to. All of us need to get to. And if you're here today and you're hearing what I'm saying, which I think all of you are, you are responsible to God to answer that question. God, what do you want me to do? Eric and Lauren are ready to do this by themselves if they need to. They got a call from God. Talitha and I are ready to do it by ourselves if we need to. We have a call from God. We certainly have some ideas of how that might end up, what might happen, but God is constantly blowing my mind away in regard to any ideas that I have. And so I'm asking everybody to consider that. The elders are asking all of you to prayerfully consider, are you ready to be used of God to go and plant another church? So that was the next phase of this. Elders approved, staff approved. And as I was thinking about how hard it would be to leave here, here's what happened for me, and I want to remind you that it happened for you as well. Because the college students didn't come back until toward the end of January, I've been wanting to preach that, you know, that state of the church address that I was trying to get out and couldn't. And so for four Sundays, I just felt like the Lord said, okay, we'll preach some Old Testament stories. So I preached about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all remember that? Preached about Jonah, preached about Samson, and then preached about Esther. Now listen, this was for me, but it's for you at this point, because now you might be able to feel a little bit better. In all four of those stories, here's what happened. God gave favor to all four of those characters. God's spirit was on them, and his hand was on them. And it was because of their obedience to God that they were blessed. That was true for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were serving, and Daniel, who were serving over provinces. Because they had obeyed God and had been given favor. It happened for Jonah, who was the only prophet in his day that had been successful and was holding on to his notoriety. It happened for Samson, who had killed thousands of Philistines, which was his call from God to begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Tons of success. And then it happened for Esther, who had been placed in the palace. So all of them were in a pristine situation, an awesome, awesome situation that feels a lot like, I'm sure, what we feel right now. This is success that God has given us. We are sitting on it right now. It feels good. And we give God the glory for it. When we worship on Sunday mornings, a lot of the worship for me happens because I think of you. It's because I think of the connections that we have, the experiences that we've had together in ministry and in life. But isn't it interesting that at a time when I'm trying to say, God, I deserve this. You know, you've given me this. This is you. I don't want to let this go. That God comes in with those four messages. I didn't even get it. I didn't even get that until the third message. But the Lord has spoken that. I mean, for all of us, that's our. So here's, as you're struggling with all that, just remember, this is the struggle of a missional person. This is the struggle of a person who has experienced God and who has gotten to the place where they're very comfortable. So then as we start talking about the challenge, here's what happened. The Sunday, and I have permission to share this today, by the way, elders, so we're good. The Tuesday after I felt like God was calling me to do this, and before I met with the elders, the Sunday before I met with the elders to share this vision, to tell them that I felt like God was calling me to plant, I overheard a guy talking at Harlow's about their church. Now, this is one of the churches that I already talked to their pastor about us going to share their space, to bring our whole congregation over there. That was the first one. And God shut that door. And he came to me and said, our pastor's leaving. And there was only 10 or 12 people left in the church. And then he came back the next day and said, well, it's done. He said, we're going to shut the doors. He said, literally said, do y'all want it? Ask me, do I want their church? We've been begging people for churches for the last 3 years. He came to me and said, do y'all want this church? So I said, man, let me pray. I prayed. I met with their elders, man, I mean, their deacons that were left. There's four elderly gentlemen, 67, two in their 80s, one 94. Man, just listened to their hearts and asked them what was going on. They shared some things and they said, man, we've done all we can do in this neighborhood and we're ready to give this building up. So we've talked again since that time, and they're ready to give this building up. There's no question. They're ready to give it up. We're already beginning legal processes to get this space. So as I started praying about this space, I felt like God was saying, it's not you. Initially, I thought, well, that's me. There's my space. I got a space. I'm fixing to go to a new space. And I felt like God said, it's not you. And the more I prayed, the more I recognized it wasn't me. And there's a lot of reasons why. I won't give you at this point, but just to let you know, the reason why was because Eric and Lauren need to be in that space. And a lot of the people that they're connected with, I believe, will be with them in that space. Those who pray and get a word from God and go. So that space is available. So guess what? Nobody gets a chance to say, hey, am I staying or going? Everybody's going. We're all going. This space is not going to be in use for a little while. So we're about to plant churches in two locations. That's what the Lord has laid before us. Two congregations in two locations. Eric, who's already a pastor of this body, was going to change roles in what he does, and he will now be the pastor of vision and preaching, which is the role that I've been filling. And we're going to go plant another church. A portion of this congregation will go with us to this new location. A portion of the congregation will go with him to the other location. One of the locations is in Alexandria. One of the locations is in Pineville. So as you pray, be asking the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? Don't use any excuses for going one way or the other. God is more than faithful. If we don't know after 6 years of hearing me say over and over again, this is how God speaks, hear his voice and do what he says. If we don't know how to hear the voice of God, or if we're not confident in that yet, then what's the next 6 years going to bring? We need to know, surely we know how to hear God's voice. I'm going to encourage you to do what I've encouraged you to do from day one, not to ask anybody what they think about you, but to ask the Lord. Get all the voices out of your head. Get along with God. Find out what God wants you to do. And just know that God is moving us into this new ministry in the community. Now, once I started seeing all that, all kinds of vision opened up. I'll share a few things that I want you to see before we close today. First of all, that God has been preparing us spiritually to consider this. It never ceases to amaze me how God moves messages, moves people, and gets us to a place where we're ready to give something away. I believe we're there. I've already shared that with you guys, but I believe God has been moving us to this point. He has grown us to this place where it's time for us to be ready to spiritually, literally consider this. Our life group structure is ready to duplicate. Training is ready. We're about to have a training experience with life group leaders, which means new life group leaders in either one of these sites will have tools ready. Right now, it's ready to begin to develop. So if you have felt called to be a life group leader and you've been putting it off, you're ready. We can train you. All these tools will be a part of the collective of the gathering places. We're going to work together as churches in this community. It's not one church. It is one church. It's one church in numerous locations. Like-minded people working together. So all these tools are going to be in use for all of us. I've just recently, as most of you know, that last summer, written a book that gives us handles to hold on to be able to understand the mission of this church, leading people to know God. And what does that mean? We have handles now. We have a book that's been carefully taught to our members, to a number of our members one-on-one, and fleshed out and edited, and it's ready. It just needs to be edited a little bit more and printed. I mean, it's ready. So the Lord's blessed us with that. We have that tool ready. One of the things that we have in place is financially in our budget, we're covered. We're ready. We're ready to begin this process. As hard as it was to see Kevin leave, there's some funds now available already without us even having to approve anything or change anything. The income of the church will stay together through at least the end of the year. And we may always operate on one budget. Who knows? But we're going to be able to all give vision to whatever locations we're in. So budget is there. We're ready financially. And God's going to continue to bless us with that. We've been gaining a lot of new members. God's been blessing us with new faces Sunday after Sunday, and I just can't wait to see what's going to happen when we have two different places where God is continuing to do that. So, that's enough. Now's the time to begin praying about what God would have each of us do. We're beginning the process of relocating one church, planting a new church, and want every member of our church to pray about where God would have you to serve and would open yourself up to either. There are ministries we're going to do together. We're going to be together at Easter. We may have services together two or three times a year where we come all together in one location and experience God together. We're going to stay connected. Mommy and me is still going to happen. It's just going to have a lot more people coming from another location, two other locations. So we're going to continue to do these ministries together. These things, the community ministries that we do, we're going to pool our resources and do these things together. Our missionaries that we support, we're going to add to those missionaries and continue to support the ones that we have. It's a corporate effort. We're going to be doing this around the world together. So all of this is for us to do together. And what you need to do is pray about what the Lord would have you to do. We're going to be doing what Paul did. We're going to be missional leaders planting, multiplying churches. Eric and I are going to each get a somebody who feels called to ministry, who we believe, and we're going to pray about who that person would be, that's called to ministry, that's trained and ready to go, that's going to be alongside us, that we're going to work with, give the vision of what it means to pastor a Gathering Place church, invest in, just like Paul did, duplicating ourselves and getting them ready to plant another church. Our sermons are always going to have a missional lean to them so that all of you are always considering, okay, I'm here in this body, but right now from day one, as soon as we get in our new congregations, we have our first services, all of us will understand that we are not sitting to get comfortable. We are ambassadors of Christ. And if God opens the door for us to go to another location, we're already prayed up and ready and seeking the Lord about that, because he will, because we're going to have another pastor alongside us that's going to be planting another church. And so we're always all considering, what does it mean for me to be a missional person, and where am I going next? And then as missional leaders, we're going to stay connected with our churches. That's what Paul did. We're going to stay connected. There'll be a collective of Gathering Place churches in this community. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do with that, man. There's just so much vision that happens around that idea, that concept of us planting these churches. Now, here's what's not probably going to happen, and we need to get ready for this, is that it's not going to feel the same, right? If we took this congregation and we moved it into Gwynn Auditorium and we had a service, it would feel very different than it does right here, because Gwynn Auditorium is huge, and we would look like a little bitty minuscule little congregation in that building. But guys, if our passion is for the Lord and our love is for the Lord, when we get small in a big space, that doesn't matter. The same passion, the same love for God, the same drive, all that stuff will be there. That same missional attitude, that same desire to grow people and to know God, that same thing is going to be there. It doesn't matter who it is. It started with me on a porch by myself. And for each of us, that can be true, that our passion for God just continues to ignite, and we get excited about not just being together, but bringing more into this body. Okay? All right. I told Talitha this morning when I finished, reading this thing through again. I said, well, today it happens. And from this point on, nothing's going to be the same for us. We are so excited. Man, we are so excited about what the Lord's fixing to do. There is no loss here. There's only gain in us multiplying this church. And so I'm excited about how God has put this together. I want you guys to know that every step of the way, against against all of my flesh and against my all the odds, really, and finally getting to the point of agreeing with God, this vision has been birthed. And our elders are on board. Our staff is on board. And so there's a lot of work to be done immediately. So from this point on, we're going to be talking about whatever we talk about in our time together here, we're going to be talking, we're going to be preparing to do that work. So get your mindset where it needs to be. I encourage you this week to pray through this stuff, to ask the Lord to speak quickly in some ways. Maybe he won't, and if it's his will, he won't. But ask him to speak quickly so you can know and begin to prepare your mind for what direction you're going. And please don't come to me or to Eric and Lauren and say, hey, we're going with y'all. Just pray. Just pray. And just know we are not going to be upset if nobody goes with us. That doesn't even play in the mix, because guess what? I'm going to be at your house eating your food. It doesn't matter if you're with us or not. I'm going to be at your house hanging out with your kids and loving on your children. None of that changes. We're here together, but we've got to start getting our minds set outside of this congregation. So Talith and I feel called to do this. We're going to be the examples for our congregation, but it's that. We're going to be the examples. We're going to be the first among many who are fixing to do this. And not because we want to, it's because God told us to, and now we're getting passionate about it. Okay, it's against everything in our flesh to do it. Everybody get that? It's easy for us to just sit here and keep doing this. And it's easy for me to just stand up here Sunday after Sunday and talk about it. But I've had a challenge from God, and if I can't obey this challenge as one of your pastors, then I can't expect you to do that. All right? So let's pray this morning. I just want to pray a blessing over this congregation and thanksgiving to God for what he's doing. And ask you this morning, just pray silently for just a minute, doing the same, just thanking God for what he's doing, then asking God to give direction, to begin to give you direction for what he'd have for you in your life. Lord, thank you for being who you are. Lord, we have enjoyed so many moments together, just coming to know you in fresh ways, and you've been faithful to reveal yourself to us through our obedience. And Lord, we know that there are so many more things that we are about to learn as we move with you into this next phase of ministry. Father, my prayer is that as we begin to consider and prayerfully think about, Lord, each of our place in this new ministry, that, Father, you would give us what you gave Barnabas, Lord, that when we begin to pray, that we would see the grace of God and be glad and be challenged to be ambassadors who exhort people in different communities in this city to be steadfast in their purpose. And Lord, that we would, as was true for them, that we would see a great many people added to the Lord. And Father, that we would invest years together, as many as you'd have us to invest, if it's like it was for Paul and Barnabas to invest a year in a location, that we would invest with everything that we have in that location, but always that our heart and passion would be for you, to know you deeper and to lead other people to that. That, Father, we would be ready always to expand and multiply this ministry that you've given us, Lord. We pray for a movement, a missional movement in this community that would change lives and hearts. Father, that people will be able to see the truth about who you are in every corner of this community. And then, Father, as you would expand us outside of this community, we are ready for that. Lord, that you would bless us by sending us to other communities and around the world. Father, make this real to each one of these people in the congregation today. Make it real. Lord, help us to grieve what we need to grieve and to decide what we need to decide so that we can be ready to join you in this work. I pray, Lord, against any confusion that the enemy would bring. I pray against any discussion that would cause any member to move in the opposite direction of where you would have them to go. And Father, we trust that your Spirit will lead us and guide us, and that you will lead the right people to the right place. Father, we look forward to many years of ministering together. And Father, wherever that is, we thank you that you've given us opportunity to do this together as a congregation. Thank you for the example of Paul and what it means for our church. So help us, Lord. Help us to be ready to be missional leaders, planting, multiplying churches. Help us to be ready to be missional leaders, duplicating ourselves in others, preparing them to be missional. And Father, help us to be missional leaders that stay connected with one another in whatever way you'd have us connected. And Lord, thank you that everything changes today. Thank you for that. Thank you that you are in control. And we put our faith and our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.